The House will come to order. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barbuto.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Blickrey.
Here.
Bonner.
Here.
Botten.
Here.
Brechtel.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Burkhart.
Here.
Bird. Bird. Campbell.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Childers. Childers, Connolly, Kraft,
here.
Davison,
here.
Edmonds, excused, Eklund,
here.
Esquivel,
here.
Freeman,
here.
Gay,
here.
Gingery, Gingery, Goggles,
yeah.
Greer,
here.
Green,
here.
Harshman,
here.
Harvey,
here.
Hunt,
here.
Illaway,
here.
Yagi,
here.
Kasparik, Croker,
here.
Crone,
here.
Lockhart,
here.
Laux,
here.
Lubno,
here.
Madden,
here.
McKim,
here.
McComey, McComey, Miller,
here.
Moniz,
here.
Nicholas,
here.
Patton,
here.
Peasley,
here.
Pedersen,
here.
Peterson,
here.
Petroff,
here.
Korberg,
here.
Roscoe, Simlick,
here.
Shepperson,
here.
Stewart, Stubson,
here.
Peters,
here.
Throne,
here.
Vronish,
here.
Wallace,
here.
Swanitzer Dan,
here.
Swanitzer Dave,
here.
Mr. Speaker,
here.
Bird,
excuse.
Bird excused, Childers, Gingery, McComey, Roscoe. 54 present, 2 excused, 4 absent.
Please join me with the Reverend Patrick Bradley in our prayer this morning.
Lord God, who have 1,000 names, send your Spirit upon this House of Representatives today. We know that at times we can be argumentative and disparaging of one another. Today, send a spirit of peace and a spirit of cooperation on this house. We ask that the light of knowledge which burns on our state seal may light our way to adopt laws that are just and necessary. We're an independent people, Lord. Many of our ancestors came to this state to escape oppression and burdensome governments. Help this assembly to pass only the minimal laws necessary to maintain domestic tranquility and ensure equal rights for all. And Lord, we know that many people are suffering in this winter storm that is gripping our nation today. We pause to pray for all those without the necessities to stave off the cold. Guide all levels of government to care for those suffering from freezing temperatures. We ask your blessing on the deliberations of this House today. Send a spirit of cooperation and goodwill on these legislators as they debate the issues set before them. We make this prayer through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Journal Committee Reports.
Mr. Speaker, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of January 31st has been read, recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Freeman, Representative Kasparik.
And with us today, in the back there, you will see, we don't have a doctor of the day, it doesn't look like, but we do have Penny Eichel from Sheridan. And is the lesser half somewhere in the building or nowhere? Oh, okay. He's not here, but maybe we'll see him later. Representative Kraft.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Thank you. In this gallery right there, we have two really good examples of why Sweetwater County is such a beautiful place to visit. The Executive Director and the Chair of the Board of the Sweetwater County Travel and Tourism Board, please welcome Pat Robbins and Janessa Bartlett.
We are at that order of business, Senate files on first reading. The first Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 67.
Senate File 67, introduced by Senator Ross.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to guardians and wards.
Senate File 67 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 68.
Senate File 68, introduced by Senator Ross.
First reading of
an act relating to probate.
Senate File 68 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 88.
Senate File 88, introduced by Senator Burns.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to crimes and punishment, expungement of nonviolent felonies.
Senate File 88 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 2.
Senate File 2, introduced by Capital Financing.
First reading of the
an
bill.
An act relating to administration of government state treasurer reports.
Senate File 2 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 57.
Senate File 57, introduced by Senator Anderson.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the State Fair regarding the 100th anniversary.
Senate File 57 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 110.
Senate File 110, introduced by the Appropriation Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to school capital construction.
Senate File 110 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 99.
Senate File 99, introduced by Senator Martin.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to sales and use tax on certain food items.
Senate File 99 is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 108.
Senate File 108, introduced by Senator Burns.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to banks and banking.
Senate File 108 is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 47.
Senate File 47, introduced by Senator Jennings.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to concealed weapons.
Senate File 47 is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. I think. Senate File 47 will be referred to Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, Cultural Resources. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 36.
Senate File 36, introduced by Senator Case.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to public schools, seclusion and restraint in schools.
Senate File 36 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 71.
Senate File 71, introduced by Senator Christensen.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to education, Hutter safety courses.
Senate File 71 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 101.
Senate File 101, introduced by Senator Coe.
First reading
an
of the bill.
An act relating to the Hathaway Student Scholarship.
Senate File 101 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 58.
Senate File 58, introduced by Senator Anderson.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to industrial siting for wind energy facilities.
Senate File 58 is referred to Committee Number 5. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 81.
Senate File 81, introduced by Select Water Committee.
first reading of the bill.
An act relating to water development projects.
Senate File 81 is referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 100.
Senate File 100, introduced by Senator Geis.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to cruelty to animals.
Senate File 100 is referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 48.
Senate File 48, introduced by the Wildlife and Natural Resource Committee.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to Wyoming wildlife.
Senate File 48 is referred to Committee Number 2, Number 6, Travel, Rec, and Wildlife. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 62.
Senate File 62, introduced by the Natural Resource Funding.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the Wyoming Wildlife and Natural Resource Funding Act.
Senate File 62 is referred to Committee Number 6, Travel, Rec, and Wildlife. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 63.
Senate File 63, introduced by Senator Case.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to game and fish, donation of hunting licenses.
Senate File 63 is referred to Committee Number 6, Travel, Rec, and Wildlife. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 45.
Senate File 45, introduced by Senator Case.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to professional services procurement.
Senate File 45 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 54.
Senate File 54, introduced by Senator Schiffer.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to disability insurance rates notice.
Senate File 54 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 77.
Senate File 77, introduced by Senator Geis.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to county officers and removal from office.
And Senate File 77 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 51.
Senate File 51, introduced by Senator Scott.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to safety belt violations in motor vehicles.
Senate File 51 is referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 72.
Senate File 72, introduced by Senator Christensen.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the Fair Practices of Equipment Act.
And Senate File 72 is referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 115.
Senate File 115, introduced by Senator Ross.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the operation of motor vehicles, DUI child endangerment fines.
Senate File 115 is referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 24.
Senate File 24, introduced by Senator Martin.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to state investments.
Senate File 24 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 116.
Senate File 116, introduced by Senator Jennings.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to oil and gas enhanced recovery microbial conversion.
Senate File 116 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate Joint Resolution 6.
Senate Joint Resolution 6, introduced by Senator Bebout.
First reading of the bill.
A joint resolution involving Environmental Protection Agency regulations.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 6 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 37.
Senate File 37, introduced by Senator Emmerich.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to health insurance definitions.
Senate File 37 is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, Social Services. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 59.
Senate File 59, introduced by Senator Escobel.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the Wyoming Controlled Substances Act regarding spice drugs.
Senate File 59 is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, Social Services. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 90.
Senate File 90, introduced by Senator Nutting.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the Wyoming Nurse Practice Act.
Senate File 90 is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, Social Services. The next bill for our consideration, Senate File for our consideration, is Senate File 69.
Senate File 69, introduced by the Management Council, an act relating to revision of inadvertent errors.
And Senate File 69 is referred to Committee Number 12, Rules. Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 217, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Escobel, Harshman, Pedersen, Stewart, Wallace, excused, Edmonds, signed representing Berger, chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 4, Education, to whom was referred House Bill 161, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Brechtel, Burkhart, Connolly, Freeman, Croker, Crone, Laux, Madden, Teeters, Signed, Representative Teeters, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 5, Agriculture, State, Public Lands, and Water Resources, to whom is referred House Bill 156, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Camel, Davison, Eklund, Hunt, Laux, Moniz, Zwanitzer, Dan, no, Semlek. Signed, Representative Semlek, Chairman.
Re-referrals, Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move to re-refer House Bill 227 to your committee number 6, Travel.
It's been moved for re-referral House Bill 227 to committee number 6. Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to re-refer House Bill 239, Child Care Facilities, to your committee number... Labor Health.
It's been moved to re-refer House Bill 239 to committee number 10. Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. We're at that order of business, bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 6.
House Bill 6, introduced by the Agriculture Committee, an act relating to packaging, labeling, and advertising of honey.
House Bill 6, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 66.
House Bill 66, introduced by the Water Committee, an act relating to water development.
House Bill 66, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 82.
House Bill 82, introduced by Representative Byrd. An act relating to the fair employment practices.
House Bill 82, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 85.
House Bill 85, introduced by Representative McKim. An act relating to teacher contracts and suspensions.
House Bill 85, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 107.
House Bill 107, introduced by Representative Botten, an act relating to jury trials in municipal court.
House Bill 107, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 114.
House Bill 114, introduced by Representative Escobel, an act relating to insurance premium failure to pay.
House Bill 114, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 123.
House Bill 123, introduced by Representative Throne, an act relating to circuit courts.
House Bill 123, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 140.
House Bill 140, introduced by Representative Roscoe, an act relating to governmental claims, immunity, public transportation.
House Bill 140, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 141.
House Bill 141, introduced by Representative Connolly, an act relating to governmental immunity.
House Bill 141, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 145.
House Bill 145, introduced by Representative Escobel, an act relating to motor vehicle registration.
House Bill 145, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 146.
House Bill 146, introduced by Representative Escobel, an act relating to vehicle sales and use tax.
House Bill 146, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 167.
House Bill 167, introduced by Representative Korberg, an act relating to crimes and offenses regarding Castle Doctrine modifications.
House Bill 167, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 177.
House Bill 177, introduced by Representative Yagi, an act relating to Vietnam and Veterans Welcome Home and Thank You Day.
House Bill 177 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 186.
House Bill 186, introduced by Representative Dave Zwanitzer, an act relating to lotteries, Wyoming Lottery.
And House Bill 186 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. We are at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 152 is off the consent list. I move a consent list consisting of the following bills: House Bill 37, House Bill 61, House Bill 154, House Bill 160, and House Bill 182.
Would anyone like to remove any of these bills off of the consent list? The reading clerk will read the bills.
House Bill 37, introduced by the Travel Committee, an act relating to state archive storage study, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 61, introduced by the Water Department, an act relating to water development projects, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 154, introduced by Representative Harvey, an act relating to multiple special handicapped license plates, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 160, introduced by the Management Audit Committee, an act relating to legislative oversight, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 182, introduced by Representative Throne, an act relating to education regarding student assessment measures, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbuto.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird excused. Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison. Edmonds excused. Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Lubnow.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Miller. Moniz, Nicholas, Patton, Patton, Peasley, Pedersen, Peterson, Petroff, Korberg, Roscoe, Simlek, Shepperson, Stewart, Stubson, Teeters, Throne, Vronish, Wallace, Zwanitzer Dan. Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Patton? Aye. No to aye. 58 aye. 2 excused. As to House Bill 37, are there any changes? Miller? Aye to no. Korberg? Aye to no. Brechtel? Aye to no. Peasley, aye to no. Yagi, aye to no. Gay, aye to no. Croker, aye to no. Are there any other changes? McKim, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 51 aye, 7 no, 2 excused. As to House Bill 61, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 2 excused. As to House Bill 154, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 2 excused. As to House Bill 160, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 2 excused. As to House Bill 182, Are there any changes? Zwanitz or Dan? Aye to no. Patton? Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 56 aye, 2 no, 2 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bills 37, 61, 154, 160, and 182 have passed the House. We are at that order of business bills on third reading and final passage regular list. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 35.
House Bill 35, introduced by Representative Brechtel, an act relating to the Health Care Choice and Protection Act, being enacted by legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Representative Brechtel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move House Bill 35, third reading amendment, and ask your favorable consideration. This amendment does two things. First of all, we took all of the penalties out of the bill, so there should be no more concern about us going out and arresting government employees and that sort of thing. I want to stress that this amendment does not put any penalties back into the bill. I believe that concern was somewhat overstated, but I just want to make sure that you understand that we're not putting penalties back into the bill. But because now it no longer has penalties in the bill, it no longer fits in criminal code, so much of this amendment actually just moves the bill to a different part of the statute, and this is largely cleanup. Unfortunately, and I didn't realize it until this morning, that the amendment really doesn't track in with the engrossed version of HB 35. It actually tracks in with the prior version. But then we also are adding in some stricken language that I really believe needs to be in there. You know, we were a pretty tough bunch prior to the election, standing for states' rights and for our citizens' rights. But it seems to me like there may be a dozen other states out there that are doing similar language that seem to be tougher than we are. And so I just really want this body just to give it one more thought before we pass this out of here without that language in there. We carved a lot out of this bill, and it simply doesn't do a whole lot anymore. But leaving out that language, I believe, renders it pretty much useless. And I'm not really one in favor of putting useless words into statute, so that's why I'm standing here today. The honorable man from the office below us, and we heard him on this floor saying that he had hoped that we would vote for these bills. I never heard him say that he had a problem with this particular language. And I left word asking that he give me some response if it was a problem to him, and I did not get that. So I ask that if you care to stand with me for citizens' rights one last time, please pass this amendment and at least let the Senate have a look at it. And for that, with that, I will stand for questions. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else for the first time, second time? Question on the amendment having been called. All those in favor of third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 35, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
All those in favor, please stand. The amendment's been adopted. Representative Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to move second reading amendment or third reading amendment to House Bill 35 and ask for your favorable consideration. And I will withdraw it at the appropriate time. I haven't wanted to spend any time discussing this bill because we have a lot on our plate. And frankly, this bill doesn't do anything, and it's pretty much, in my humble opinion, dead on arrival. I know it makes all of us feel good to send a message to our friends in Washington when we feel like they've really done something that makes absolutely no sense, but it's still just sending a message. And I don't think in any of the discussion we've had, it's been mentioned that the constitutional history has been sort of left out. The first 50, 60, 70 years of our history were very dramatic, and it's fairly amazing that the country survived. Of course, in reality, we had to go through a civil war for the country to survive. And the folks who pushed the states' rights argument, as we all know, lost. So a lot of the philosophical underpinnings for this kind of bill come from those pre-Civil War states arguments, and that fight was won and lost, or lost rather in the Civil War. During the segregation years, there were attempts at nullification of this type, and again, the Supreme Court said that those states' provisions were unconstitutional. And finally, I don't think during any of this debate we've talked about our own Wyoming Constitution, which says the state of Wyoming, this is Article 1, Section 37, the state of Wyoming is an inseparable part of the federal union, and the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. So just keep that in mind as you consider how to vote on this bill. We don't have a choice whether to follow the federal law. We do have several choices, which we're exercising. We're participating in a lawsuit as a state, and we won a big battle yesterday. So there's really not a need for this bill. But really, I find concerning about this bill and the time we've spent on it, and that's why I'm trying to speak very quickly, is that this legislation doesn't do a darn thing to get health care to people in Wyoming. I've heard several people say we want to have a Wyoming plan. Well, what is the Wyoming plan? I thought the Wyoming plan was that we would carefully analyze the federal health care law as well as other things and pick the parts that would work for Wyoming and then make decisions about what to do with the parts that didn't work for Wyoming. But this bill, all this bill is a statement. It's a statement to tell our friends in Washington that we don't like what they're doing. But one, it's most likely unconstitutional. Two, it's unnecessary because no court is going to listen to us. They're going to listen to all the lawyers litigating this issue. And so far, it's a tie. Two for constitutionality of the ACA, two against. That case will work its way through the courts regardless of what we do. But finally, we have people in this state, between 70 and 80,000 uninsured citizens who lose their homes because they can't pay their medical bills, who die because they can't afford health care. That is what we need to be talking about. We do not need to be talking about socking it to the feds. We need to be talking about getting health care to our citizens. And for that reason, I urge all of you to oppose this bill.
Your first time, Representative Brechtel. Would you like to...
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speaking on and for the bill, first of all, we need to recognize, I mean, it is a step forward that we do have a ruling in a court regarding this federal law, but we're a long ways from being there, a long ways. And I believe that this bill is a necessary safety net taking a strong stand in defense of our citizens' rights. And I can tell you, my constituency sent me down here to do this, and it was one of the issues that I ran on. We're talking about not just any old federal law, but this is government takeover of your health care. It's bound to drive up health care costs. We're looking at $3 trillion stripped out of Medicare over the next 20 years. What do you think that's going to do to our senior citizens? There's much in this new federal law that is really dangerous to our citizens, and we, especially speaking for myself, have a responsibility to stand strong on the rights and the privileges of our own citizens. This is HB 35 does not oppose any good health care reform. We support that. I don't think anybody argues that we could use some reform in our health care system. HB 35 provides our citizens with a defense mechanism, and I think we need to keep that in there. I believe that this is a good measure, and let's get it to the Senate. Let them help us improve it if it needs improving, but please support this bill. Thank you.
Mr. Majority Floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Currently, the state of Wyoming spends $1.6 billion per biennium on our Department of Health. $1.1 billion of those dollars is for Medicaid, for the care of the sick, the infirm, the poor, the elderly. We spend about $3,000 per every man, woman, and child in the state of Wyoming. And we do a good job of taking care of our own. And so what this bill simply says is let us take control of our own destiny. Let us care for our own. A one-size-fits-all plan from Washington, D.C. doesn't work for all of us. And so on and against the amendment and for the bill.
Representative Korberg, for first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I just want to take this opportunity to, I guess, remind the body this piece of legislation is not about sending a message to the federal government. I don't think anywhere in here there's the little caveats at the end about forwarding this to our good colleagues back in Washington, D.C. This bill is about our legislative body, a separate branch of government, saying to the citizens of Wyoming, we want to be able to do this our way. This piece of legislation is not good for the citizens of Wyoming. It does not say that we cannot embark on our own studies, look at our own systems in the state of Wyoming, put our own pieces of the puzzle together. But it just says to the citizens of the state of Wyoming, that's what this piece of legislation is about. It's about saying, we've heard your comments, we've taken your phone calls, we've read your emails, we get it. We have an obligation to the people of the state of Wyoming, just as much as the executive branch of government does and just as much as the judicial branch of government does. We have responsibilities and obligations, and we are saying we recognize those. And this is our answer. This is what we propose to do as a response to the Affordable Care Act. So I encourage you today to pass this out of this house and send it down across the hall and allow it to go through the rest of the process on and against the amendment and for the bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else for their first time, second time prior to the sponsor? Second time, Representative Brechtel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. HB 35 is just a statutory remedy that will go into effect right away. It's just a good safety net in defense of our our citizens' rights. It does no damage to our employees. It does not suggest that we don't agree that the U.S. Constitution is the supreme law of the land. We all agree. We just want to make sure that we hold a line on protecting our citizens against overreach when the federal government is not operating within its those values within our Constitution. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's true that we spend a lot of money on Medicaid in this state, and a huge chunk of it comes from the federal government, Medicaid and Medicare. So don't be misled by us doing it all on our own. We don't. Maybe someday we'll choose to do that all on our own, but that's not what's in front of us today. Again, our obligation to our citizens is to provide policy solutions that solve our health care crisis. This doesn't do that. Our Attorney General does not have authority under our Constitution to defend individual rights of citizens, and this isn't a constitutional amendment. So this doesn't do a thing for our citizens. And there are some things in the ACA that a lot of our citizens like. Closing the donut hole for seniors. Do we have a problem with that idea? Cheaper medicine to our seniors? I don't think so. Helping people with pre-existing conditions like some members of my family who can't get insurance because they're uninsurable? We haven't fixed that as a state. What about support for breastfeeding in the workplace, which the sponsor of HB 35 and I worked on together several years ago? That's in the ACA. So before we take this broad statement against anything that will help our citizens, maybe we should just, you know, set this aside, work on real health care solutions that really help our citizens. This does not do a darn thing for the people of Wyoming. And at this time, Mr. Speaker, I'll withdraw the amendment.
Thank you, Representative Throne. House Bill 35 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
No.
Berger.
No.
Blake.
No.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd excused. Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly.
No.
Kraft. Davison.
Aye.
Edmonds excused. Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
No.
Freeman.
No.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
No.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Lubnow.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
Aye.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Korberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
No.
Semlick.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
No.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
No.
Vronish.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan. Swanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 44 aye, 14 no, 2 excused.
House Bill 35 having received the affirmative vote of the majority of those elected to the House, House Bill 35 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 49.
House Bill 49, introduced by the Labor Committee, an act relating to public health primary care support program, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 49, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Bonner. Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown. Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd excused. Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Edmonds excused. Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
No.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Croker.
No.
Crone. Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
no.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Korberg,
no.
Roscoe,
aye.
Semlich,
aye.
Shepperson,
no.
Steward,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Bronish, Wallace.
No.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Brechtel, aye to no. Gingery, aye to no. Laux, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Teeters, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 47 aye, 11 no, 2 excused.
House Bill 49, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 49 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 152.
House Bill 152, introduced by Representative Semlich, an act relating to the Environmental Quality Act regarding very rare or uncommon area designations, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Representative Dan Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move third reading amendment number 1 and would ask for its favorable consideration. What the amendment does is eliminate the EQC from ever having to go through a delisting of a rare and uncommon area in the state. What we heard in committee testimony, and I believe what the intent of the bill is, really just to do away with this hassle altogether in our statutes. The process takes years. The EQC has testified they don't have the time or the resources, or the money, or the expertise on some of these issues to go through this lengthy process. And I guess it's my belief that if we don't need the EQC to make these designations, we really shouldn't trust them to take out designations, which take the same amount of time. No one has ever asked the EQC to take out a designation. I checked with them, and there's none currently pending or petitioned for this to happen. If this amendment does pass, the authority then rests with the legislature on the current 13 designations, most of which have been in place for over 30 years now. And I do think this body is probably appropriate place to handle that authority, although I do doubt we'll ever get one. But if we do, it would come to us through the form of a bill, and we could take out a designation. I guess the impetus of this bill and this program, there was a massive environmental movement in our country about 30, 40 years ago here and in the state. We did some very, I guess, at that time, progressive environmental policies. And since then, you know, when we first established this act, they declared a lot of these areas. But in the last 30 years since, we had one designation about 20 years ago that was very contentious, spent several years in court up in the middle part of the state. And then about 8 to 10 years ago, we had a designation out in the county of Sweetwater that was a little contentious, but most people have come to terms with it, and I think it's working well and it's probably necessary. So, you know, I just think if we're going to take out the possibility for them to ever designate anything else, we should probably take out the possibility for them to ever have to go through the whole process and delist one of these. Just take it out of the statute completely, take it out of the EQC's purview. Nothing to be added, nothing to be gained. So, except for this body, should something ever come to us. I'd be happy to stand for questions on the amendment.
Chairman Semlich.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would ask that we resist this amendment. I'll do that on two different points. My first point is that should we trust the decision of an appointed board with respect to the designation of lands and put that decision in a lockbox, and regardless of what the circumstances unforeseen in the future might be, that we would say that this designation of these lands is very rare and uncommon should be in perpetuity. We don't do that with the decisions that we make on this body, and I wouldn't think it would be appropriate to lay out a lockbox of the decision-making of the Environmental Quality Council and put their decisions in a lockbox. My second point is, and it's kind of maybe some of the same arguments as the sponsor of the amendment, and perhaps with a little different perspective, we've trusted the Environmental Quality Council to receive petitions, to deliberate on the petitions with respect to the designation of very rare and uncommon, and now we don't trust them that they would make the good decisions, that they might not ever want to remove them. So I would just ask that we would resist this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in support of this amendment. I think how we voted earlier on this bill was that we didn't want any more designations, and part of it was we didn't trust the seven citizens that were making those designations. So I say we, if they do want to undesignate an area, then it comes to us to vote on it. It's as simple as that. Bring it to us. Let us work on anything. And I hope it never happens. The designation in Sweetwater County, if you've never been there, go there. It's pristine. So I rise in support of this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else for their first time? First time for Representative Shepperson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The people proposing this amendment has said, well, let's let the legislature decide on that. That's not what the amendment says. They're just taking out any and all rights to delist these. So what they're saying is that these lands are going to be designated as this in perpetuity. How long is perpetuity? That's a long time. Look at the changes that have happened since my grandmother's been in place. She went to school riding on a horse, and now look at the technology that we have. And that's two generations. We're not talking about four generations. We're not talking about six generations. We're talking about forever. I don't think that's right. I don't think we are right to lock up these lands in perpetuity. They say that they didn't have the expertise to make these designations, but maybe they did make the wrong designations. They would know that better than anybody else. They need to be able to have the authority to remove these, and only with clear and concise and convincing evidence. And especially in some of these cases, and several of them in particular, they may become protected under other state or federal actions, and they may not need this designation. So this is just allowing for some flexibility, allowing us not to lock up lands in perpetuity. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else for their first time, now second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Wanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Let me go back in order then. When we first reminded the body in 35 years, roughly, of this program, nobody has ever come to the EQC to ask for a delisting. Not once, not one petition. According to them, not one hint of a whimper that anybody was seriously going to come to them and ask them to do away with the designation. And so it would rest with this body in the same way that all other state land designations, state parks, state historic sites, we can take any of those out whenever we want around here. I would argue those are perpetuities under that same concept, that they lock up certain lands, but we say that they're for a good reason, and should anybody ever want to delist a state park, they can certainly come to this body and do it. So I don't honestly, once again, think anyone will ever come on any of these. They're basic sites that we've all come to know and enjoy, and we've pretty much mapped out the state at this point, so there's not like a lot. We're going to find a lot of these other unique areas that nobody knew existed. There is a mechanism. Well, what else? To respond to the first the sponsor of the bill, if we're saying we no longer trust the EQC to make a new designation and don't want to give them that power, I'm not sure how we can make the argument that we trust them enough to know enough to take out a designation that's been in place for 30 years. And so if you want to do away with this program, and I would argue that it's probably time to just do away with the whole thing and let the EQC do what they're tasked with without Romanet 5 in their statutes, we should just do away with the whole thing. If any problem ever arises, it can come to this body. I don't think anyone believes that a problem will ever arise. Let's just take out their authority altogether on these areas and move on. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All those in favor of third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 152, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
The amendment has failed. House Bill 152, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
No.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
No.
Blickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd excused. Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly.
No.
Kraft.
No.
Davison.
Aye.
Edmonds excused. Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
No.
Freeman.
No.
Gay. Gay,
aye.
Gingery,
no.
Goggles,
no.
Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
no.
Patton,
Peasley,
Pedersen, Peterson, Petroff, Korberg, Roscoe, Simlick, Shepperson, Stewart, Stubson, Teeters, Throne, Braunisch, Wallace, Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker, I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 45 ayes, 13 noes, 2 excused.
House Bill 152, having received the affirmative vote of those members elected to the House, House Bill 152 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Joint Resolution 6.
House Joint Resolution number 6, introduced by Representative Hunt. A resolution regarding private property protection, be enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Joint Resolution 6, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd excused. Campbell. Kennedy,
aye.
Childers,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Connolly,
no.
Kraft,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Edmonds excused, Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Croker, Crone,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Braunisch,
aye.
Wallace,
Zwanitzer
Dan.
Zwanitzer
Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 57 aye, 1 no, 2 excused.
House Joint Resolution 6, having received the affirmative vote of those members elected to the House, House Joint Resolution 6 has passed the House. We're at that order of business, consideration of bills on general file, but first, I see Representative Stewart. So, Representative Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Thank you. Friends and neighbors, would you join me in welcoming our senior class, government, economics, history, coming all the way over from Grand Encampment today, braving the roads and this winter weather we're having, and of course, Mr. Teason, and I just got to tell you, Mr. Teason is a good friend of mine, and I've told you about our wonderful conversations at the post office about this wonderful democracy, representative democracy that we live in, and I just can't tell you how much I enjoy that. And this could be the last time I get to introduce him. He's going to take a little time off. We're sure going to miss him at our school there in Encampment. And I wanted to tell you one more thing, too, about my good friend, Mr. Teason. He was Wyoming's first James Madison Scholar of Constitutional Studies. And I hope he appreciated the part of the debate that he caught here today. And welcome. It's good to see you guys.
Representative Kesberik.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
I'd like to draw your attention to, direction challenge, that away. Sitting with my husband, Mark Englert, Vice President of Gillette College, Northern Wyoming Community College District. My husband, who's actually our Gillette College Foundation President, and our Executive Director of the Gillette College Foundation, Jessica Cedars.
Representative Roscoe.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to introduce two dedicated Teton County School Board members who promised not to tell folks back home that I was late this morning. Jeannie Taskey up in the north and Carlin Carney.
We are now at that order of business of consideration of bills on general file. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If you would move House Bill 22 and House Bill 39 up underneath House Bill 214, you would have the order for the day. I move that the House resolve itself into committee of the whole.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The House is resolved into committee of the whole. Representative Greer.
Committee of the whole will please come to order. Okay, let's tighten our cinches and get going. The first bill for our consideration is, what do we got, House Joint Resolution. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Joint Resolution number 3 being introduced by Representative Childers, a joint resolution demanding Congress cease and desist from enacting mandates beyond the enumerated powers granted to the Congress by the U.S. Constitution. This House joint resolution was referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary, which recommended it do pass. Ayes, Brechtel, Brown, Kennedy, Green, Crone, Peasley, No, Barbudo, Nicholas, Throne, sign representing Brown, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Brown?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a recommendation that House Joint Resolution 3 pass, and I would turn the explanation over to the Revenue Committee Chairman.
Chairman Childers.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the 61st, House Joint Resolution number 3, resolution to Congress and the United States Supreme Court. While we have passed any number of resolutions asking Congress to cease and desist from enacting mandates beyond the enumerated powers granted to the Congress, I think we also need to pass this constitutional amendment to also to tell the Supreme Court that we meant what we said in the 10th Amendment in the Commerce Clause. I don't know whether any of you have ever read the book called The Dirty Dozen, and no, it's not about the movie, but it's a book by Robert Levy, by a couple of people that address how 12 Supreme Court cases have radically expanded government and eroded freedom. And I'm addressing more so just the 10th Amendment and the Commerce Clause, and it carries over into some of these decisions that they addressed that weren't directly for the 10th Amendment and Commerce Clause. Actually, one of the students standing up there, that the good representative from the Mother County, got up and introduced. Maybe he ought to be explaining this bill. It's a joint resolution, again, demanding Congress cease and desist from enacting mandates beyond those powers, enumerated powers granted to Congress by the United States Constitution. Wait a minute. To the Congress by the United States Constitution, calling on Congress to amend the 10th Amendment and the Interstate Commerce Clause in Article 1, Section 8 of the United States Constitution so as to resist the egregious encroachment on states' rights through federal legislation and federal court decision, and demanding the United States Supreme Court refrain from issuing decisions which, I hate attorneys, I'm sorry, impermissibly expand federal power or restrict individual rights. I could read through all the whereases, but if you go to page 7, actually all the whereases just go through a number of the decisions that were in this book, and then also to explain again about the Commerce Clause and the 10th Amendment. But getting to the gist of the bill, page 7, now therefore be it resolved by the members of the legislature of the state of Wyoming under Section 1 that the Wyoming Congressional Delegation and Congress take action to initiate the amendment process provided by Article 5 of the Constitution of the United States to amend the 10th Amendment and Article 1, Section 8, the Interstate Commerce Clause of the Constitution of the United States. Section 2 goes through asking for the amendment, and basically the amendment would be powers not expressly delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. And this amendment shall be considered by all courts as a rule of interpretation and construction in any case involving interpretation of any constitutional power claimed by the Congress. Then Section 3, that Congress amend the Interstate Commerce Clause, Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution of the United States as follows, which proposed changes indicated into the underscored text, and that is to directly regulate commerce with foreign nations and among the several states and with the Indian tribes with no authority in Congress to regulate matters that are primarily intrastate with only an insignificant or collateral effect upon interstate commerce. and we're proposing that this bill, if passed, also be sent to not only the President of the Senate and the Speaker of the House and Congress, the President of the United States, and also to the 49 other states, to ask them to join this. And I would hope that that the Speaker of the House actually bring this into what they're, I'm assuming they're calling Contract with America, and maybe we do have a chance to actually get this proposal going through Congress. Congress a lot of times takes these proposals and tosses them in the trash. But I think with the help from the other 49 states, maybe we'll have a chance. With that, there's not any questions. I call for the question.
Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Brown's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a recommendation that House Joint Resolution number 3 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
House Joint Resolution number 3 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Okay, the Committee of the Whole, The next bill for our consideration is House Bill number 129. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 129, introduced by Representative Harshman, an act relating to nuclear energy production study. This bill was sent to Committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, which recommended it do pass with amendments. Signed, Ayes, Byrd, Greer, Kasparic, Lockhart, Moniz, Roscoe, Stubson, Swanitzer Dan, Swanitzer Dave, signed Representative Stubson, Vice Chairman. The bill was further sent to the Appropriation Committee, which respectfully reported to be recommended to pass. Ayes, Berger, Edmonds, Escobel, Harshman, Pedersen, Wallace, No, Stewart, signed Representative Berger, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Lockhart?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill number 129 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee amendment. And I'd like to explain the amendment. It is just clarification. It took out some words that were redundant, and so I'd urge a vote on the Standing Committee if there's no questions.
Question having been called, all those in favor of Standing Committee Amendment number 1, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Standing Committee Amendment number 1 has been adopted. We are back on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to turn the explanation of the bill to the good coach from the county and the center of the state.
Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, I bring you House Bill 129. This is the enrolled version that passed through both houses last year and for some unknown reason was vetoed. Simple little study bill to really build some knowledge in both bodies and then also to really look at the possibilities. And, you know, Wyoming right now produces about 11 quadrillion BTUs of energy. That's 10% of the United States total. That United States total is estimated to double in the next 40 years to 200 quadrillion BTUs, and Wyoming is going to be a key player. And if we're going to maintain our 10% as we currently have, Wyoming has the largest stores of uranium in the country, and also thorium, which is another radioactive element, which is really coming online. India now is moving forward to that. And so it's really an exciting time for Wyoming, and it'd be nice to get together and just look at the possibilities out there. So with that, I'd stand for any questions. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1 to House Bill 129, ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, I think as you look through my amendment, you will see a common theme, a common thread to what I'm trying to accomplish with this amendment. This could be titled with a question: do you want an objective study here or not? And of course, you would recognize in the summary of this, I was a no vote in this in Appropriations Committee. And of course, it's really not the amount of money. Of course, we appropriate a lot larger dollar figures in many of the bills we pass. However, we do have a fiduciary responsibility to, with our tax dollars, to make sure that we represent our studies with equity. Now, my amendment starts basically on page 2, and I just tried to delete some of this language that was, I think, possibly overly positive. Why would we want to take tax dollars to at this level of a study to encourage? Let's just study. So the first page there, page 2, line 18, take out the word encourage. Of course, we know that it's going to take a lot of water to incentivize, to get this industry going. And to just look at the use of these unappropriated waters, I thought was probably really not the full picture. We need to find out if that water is available. Again, in that same paragraph, you know, you can see I deleted there the words private and public sector partnerships. I don't know what that means. And of course, we have some language in our Constitution and statute that we have to be very careful about that. And at this juncture, why do we need to even worry about that? Still on page 2, paragraph little I, why are we only going to look at state regulatory provisions that unduly restrict this industry? Of course, you'll see in my amendment, I would suggest to you that we do need to look at our state regulatory provisions that protect the health and safety of our citizens and protect the natural resources of our beautiful state, including, but of course not limited to, our air and water resources. Moving to page 3, it was just unclear what we were talking about in line 4, the storage of what. And I just wanted to make sure everybody knew what we were talking about. We were talking about nuclear waste storage. Of course, this is the that big gorilla in the room. How we crack that nut as far as how we deal with the nuclear waste component of this industry is the gorilla, and we need to figure that out. And let's just say it right here. And of course, the transportation of that is a critical component of this study. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I would stand for any questions on this Committee of the Whole amendment.
Any questions? Any comments? Question hasn't been. Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and against the proposed amendment, I think I want to take you back to what was the introduction of this bill, and that is that it is to look at what could be done in Wyoming. So it's a look forward, and to keep it broadly so that we can specifically look at those issues that could be of benefit to the state. It's not one that's to dig down deeply into maybe some storage issues that go way beyond the first look. And as you recall, there was this went to the Appropriations Committee, and there's not a lot of money in there. This is just to do the first look to see whether following studies would be beneficial And for that matter, statutes would be beneficial to this industry in Wyoming. So it's the vetting one. It's not the final answer. I'd urge your defeat of the proposed amendment.
Question? No. Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and against the amendment, you know, we're getting kind of behind here in Wyoming. This is trying to catch up a little bit. You know, I don't know why our energy school hasn't taken up this topic with great enthusiasm. The world is going nuclear with our technology, and we're sitting here debating questions 30 and 40 and 50 and, frankly, 60 years old here in the U.S. Right now, there's 58 nuclear power plants under construction in the world. I don't think there's any in the U.S. Planned is another 150. Under proposal is another 300-plus. There's only 425 operating in the world right now, 104 of those in the U.S. And, again, the last one that was built in the U.S. was probably 20 years ago. And someone remind me, how many people perished at Three Mile Island? None. You really want to get into this topic. You want to really get into energy generation. You have to talk about lives per unit of energy generated. Okay, per megawatt of energy generated, how many human lives does it cost? For nuclear power, it's frankly the least amount. Oil, natural gas, I think, is second. Oil is probably third. Coal is a little bit more hazardous. I think we have a number of coal mining deaths, very few in Wyoming, by the way. They're mostly back east in the underground coal mines. But compared to 50 years ago or 100 years ago, it's still acceptable for the standard of living all this energy production provides, not only for us here in Wyoming and the wealth it generates and the taxes we get to spend down here, but for the whole of America. You know, it caused our high standard of living. Some of the very worst in cost per human lives of energy production are solar panels, the renewable energies. One of the worst is actually dams, because when you have a catastrophic failure of a dam, I think some in China have killed like 100,000 people at a time. When you average all that out, you know, the people falling off their roof when they're up there brushing the snow off their solar panels, when you average it all out, nuclear comes out right at the top. So, you know, this nuke this amendment and vote on the bill.
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What the amendment does is changes the bill to the point it makes it a study of transportation of nuclear waste and waste storage. That isn't what the bill was intended. The bill was intended to study the use of our resources, which we still have plenty of, in order to generate power, to generate those BTUs. We've heard the discussion on wind. If we don't do it, someone else will. Well, we need to know what we want to do with all of our uranium and nuclear resources here, and there are still plenty of them. The waste issue is already being handled. The transportation issue is handled. If you spend much time on Interstate 80, you've all seen the waste. You just don't know it. Those trucks with the big stainless steel casks, that's nuclear waste that's going to Idaho. Or the ones going the other way are going to the WIP project in New Mexico. So those issues are already being addressed. This is one to make best use of our resources here. So on and against the amendment.
Representative Roscoe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Since I am on this bill, I'd like to rise in favor of this amendment. I think we can still study this thing. It is a study. It's not a foregone conclusion. And I think these are issues that we definitely do need to attend to. So rise in favor of the amendment. Thank you.
Question having been called. Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just on and against the amendment, I think it's been well stated. But I think the idea here is, what are we going to do in Wyoming to add value to our blessings of mineral wealth? We have a project in the bringer of this amendment's district to turn coal to liquids. That's a public-private partnership. Thing that, you know, it'll be half of a refinery in Wyoming producing gasoline. These are the same kind of issues. And before, it's almost like this amendment wants to discuss, you know, it wants to put a label on and talk about whether or not we should do it instead of can we do it. And I think we got to ask, can we do it? What's out there? What are the possibilities? So as far as the water issues that were brought up by the bringer of this amendment, the Generation 4 nuclear plants don't have to be located near a river. They use so very little water, just like many of our other generation plants. And, you know, I think some of the terms that were put in here, I think it was well stated, and the storage and all those things, these have been tried on our other industries as well. We've tried to attach names to coal, to oil, to gas. And so I just urge you to resist this, and let's just look at what's out there. Because as we all know, nuclear power is the cleanest, greenest, cheapest form of energy. And the United States produces the most nuclear-generated electricity in the entire world. The United States produces it, 20% of our total, which is the world's most, the world's highest. And so, and I just one other little tidbit. We've already had a nuclear reactor in this state. It was in Sundance Mountain and back in the NORAD days. And so nuclear energy is really enjoying a renaissance and in this country, with our current president and our previous president. And once again, you know, I think back to the 70s when the folks who sat at these old metal desks in this room and the governor who has a scholarship named after him went and captured the coal industry right from Montana's hands. And we did that because we had the foresight to get out front of that. Because Wyoming's coal reserves are immense, but so are Montana's. And they produce, you know, like a hundredth of the coal that we do. And there's a reason for that. It's people on this floor had foresight not to say, oh, it takes forever. It's 15 years away. They thought, this is the future. And this is so important to our state, but also to our United States. And so I would really encourage us to be cautious on this amendment, to vote this thing down. As a good co-sponsor said, nuke this baby, pass this bill, and let's send it to the governor. So thank you on and against the amendment.
Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm in favor of the amendment. While we have had a nuclear reactor in the state, we've also had extraction in the state. And one of the repercussions of that extraction is in a gorgeous area of the middle of the state. It is radioactive hot with groundwater that now cannot be used. Ranchers that are getting federal subsidies, and to use language from before, in perpetuity, because it's hot. This amendment has us make sure that we study what happened there so we can assure that it doesn't happen elsewhere. If we're going to move forward with nuclear power, let's do it thoroughly. Again, on and in favor of the amendment.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, the boogeyman, radiation, has just raised its ugly head. The boogeyman wasn't created by the mining industry. The Earth is radioactive. Life is possible on Earth because of radioactivity. Continental drift is driven by the radioactivity from the center of the Earth. The center of the Earth is molten because of all the uranium that is naturally here on the Earth. Runs about 3 parts per million uranium in the Earth's crust right now. You know, we could right here on the grounds of this Capitol, the soil outside of this Capitol runs 30,000 parts per trillion uranium. That sounds scary, doesn't it? 30,000 parts per trillion, or 3 parts per million, which is the average crustal abundance. Again, there's all kinds of scare tactics. We talk about the green stuff. Frankly, it's the green nonsense. It's the NIMBYs that keep attacking progress all the time. I'm so tired of it. It's just unbelievable. You know, first off, who wants dirty air and dirty water here? None of us. But you would think some of us were just out here trying to rape, ruin, and run. Again, we like spending that money, though. Give me some more of that money. Again, I'm getting way off track here. The good coach talked about how important this is. He brought up the Sundance Nuclear Reactor. When we had this bill last year, we found out that Sundance reactor, you know, was the most reliable reactor in the world, had run the longest. This is prior to 1970. It helped secure our early warning system for a possible nuclear attack. Why did we use nuclear? Because it's reliable. And again, we can go back to the Dark Ages. We can go back to building wind turbines, and we can go back to a standard of living that's 1/100th of what we have right now. Vote for this amendment, and this gut the thing.
Gently remind the body to maybe stay on the amendment in our discussions. Chairman Childers.
Well, Mr. Chairman, on and against the amendment, I prefer to keep the bill a little bit more simple. And I think it's broad enough that they can study some of the things that are proposed in the amendment. Excuse me. I hope the body remembers in this bill and as far as the type of the amendment, type of amendments that are coming on it, probably about my second or third session, I was on the Minerals Committee, and we were actually having a debate in that committee about the tax on nuclear waste. Just the tax on it. That's all we were talking about. We weren't talking about putting in a storage facility. We were just talking about the tax. And you wouldn't believe the people that came out and opposed that the possibility of creating problems and opening the door for nuclear issues to be considered in our state. This amendment makes it a little bit more complicated and difficult in this study bill that's being proposed. But I would hope that these legislators and whoever in the state of Wyoming winds up involved in this, let's not go back to the scare tactics and problems that we've had in the past in nuclear issues. Let's take this study and develop it as the good sponsor of this bill was talking about, that Wyoming developed their coal and Montana didn't. Montana just said, oh, Lord, we're going to have problems. They also did it to the point they increased severance taxes to 30% and shut down coal mines. But this bill is important, and I don't think this amendment should be added on to complicate the issue. On and against the amendment.
Representative Burkhardt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not sure where this radioactive wasteland is in the center of the state. I spent quite a bit of time up there, and I can tell you there's a lot of nice antelope and a lot of nice fish in that area. But again, this amendment changes the bill. If we want to study waste and waste transportation, bring a separate bill, but defeat the amendment and get back on the bill. Thank you.
Okay, the question hasn't been called. All those in favor of the committee of the whole amendment number one, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Committee of the one amendment, or committee of the whole amendment number one, is defeated. We're back on the bill. Okay. Question having been called. Oh, excuse me. Representative Madden, I apologize.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I may not get an answer for this today, but I think the appropriate time has asked for it, you know, sometime during this process. And, you know, this was vetoed last year, and I can't find the veto messages from last year, but I want to know. It seems to me, by my memory, that there was a message in the message. It says that we're already doing this, and I don't remember if we're already doing it at the School of the Energy, at the School of Energy over across the hill, or if they were doing it in the office downstairs with the energy people, or what it was. And if somebody can recollect who was here last year on what this was, or has a list of the veto message, I'd like to see that, because it's not, it may be important as far as duplicating of services. And, you know, the kind of money we're spending over there at that School of Energy, it seems like these are the guys that are experts, and these are the guys that are, you know, if you give them guidance and tell them we need some answers on this, it seems like we should be able to get some. But I don't know how, well, yes, I do know how universities work. But it just seems like we've got a facility, we've got skills, and we're paying for expertise in this area. And when you look at the makeup of this proposed board, maybe they have more expertise than the university would have. But I can't remember exactly what that message said. I guess that's my problem. Thank you.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll get exactly what was in that budget or in that note from downstairs and have it available before we discuss this again. I urge us, defeated the amendment, support of the bill.
Yeah. Representative Roscoe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd just like to remind the body that the study is important, because the fastest way to shut down nuclear development in our state would be to have a major mistake. That's what shut down nuclear development in our country. And so I think it's important if we had a major transportation problem or disaster in that respect, or in our water, if we were to do something prematurely and pollute our water, we'd be going backwards on this nuclear issue. So I think the study is important. Thank you.
Question. Having been called, all those in favor of Representative Lockhart's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill number 129 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? House Bill 129 has passed the Committee of the Whole.
Mr. Chairman, may I have privilege of the floor, please?
Representative Illaway, yes, you may.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Today in the South Balcony, I'm pleased to introduce to you a distinguished Department of Defense teacher from Patch Army Base in Stuttgart, Germany. Herr Stefan Zappi and his wife Kathleen, it turns out, have multiple Wyoming connections. Diana Ullman from Wyoming, the former Wyoming State Superintendent and Secretary of State, as head of DOD EA schools in Europe, named Stefan as the 2007 DOD Teacher of the Year. Kathleen Zappi was the teacher of the grandson of our former Governor Mike Sullivan and our colleague Senate President Jim Twyford. And now Herr Zappi is the first grade teacher of Jackson Catchpole, grandson of former Superintendent Judy Catchpole. All of them rave about the quality of this education team serving our military families. And the Zappies are in the adoption process of a Wyoming child. Would you please welcome them?
All right. The next bill for consideration is House Bill 34. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 34, introduced by Representative McComey, an act relating to taxation and revenue, sales and use tax distributions. This bill was referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue, which recommended to do pass with amendments. Ayes, Blickery, Camel, Childers, Miller, Semlick, Vronish, No, Madden, Peterson, Excused, Goggles, Sign, Representative Childers, Chairman.
Chairman Childers.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a recommendation that bill number 34 do pass. Sorry about that. Trifocals are presenting a problem. And with that, I would turn the bill over to the primary sponsor, the good representative from House District 54.
Representative McComey.
I believe there's a standing committee amendment that needs to be moved.
That amendment was moved and passed last week, and this bill re-referred, so we should be just on this bill.
Okay, thank you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I again will try and bring you House Bill 34, Sales and Use Tax Distributions. And ladies and gentlemen, what this bill does, if you'll look on pages 2, line 4 and 5, it changes to 69% to 64% of the sales tax that flows to the general fund. And further down goes, talks about the $20,000 is now $40,000 that flows to, and it's this part is just technical corrections of what's already happening in the budget about what flows to counties, a flat fee. And on page 3, lines 8 and 9 and 10 talks about it strikes 29% and increases it to 36% of the sales tax collected from out-of-state vendors goes to cities and counties. And on page 4, it changes again. This is the what do they call that? It's another form of sales tax from out-of-state sales. Use tax. That's what it is. Distribution, and it changes those for from 69 to 64, and raises the city and county's contribution to 34%. 36%. So, and with that, then, is the amendment, which says that this bill will be revenue neutral for this biennium. And what it does, it takes the one-time distributions that cities and counties are receiving and puts those over and takes the sales tax, offsets those, and those flow back into the general fund to replace this sales tax revenues at this time. This is because we've already budgeted this money, and I didn't want this to be over and above what the Revenue Committee had done for the biennium and what the governor's been proposing with his proposals downstairs. So this effectively says that we're going to do the sales tax will kick in the next biennium, and any decisions made by the governor and or appropriations then can be based upon cities and counties getting 5% more of the sales tax at that time. And with that, I'd stand for questions.
Representative Pedersen.
Brothers and sisters of the 61st, I think I started this originally before it re-referred back to our committee, but I'll continue again. I'd urge you to resist this bill at this time. Couple of things. One is that we do see, and you will see in House Bill 1 appropriation higher than even this amount that is going out to cities, towns, counties, locals. But you'll also see a 300 series amendment that basically directs the governor in the upcoming biennium to address this issue. And I don't want to be I don't think it's appropriate for this body to handcuff us to this when we can ask the governor to address the issue. And there's what's interesting within that language is it also requires that the funding be level to what we are right now. This doesn't say it. This just changes the percentages. And if you're really trying to get consistency, that's what the purpose of the amendment in House Bill 1 is that you'll see coming back to you on the floor. So at this point, I would urge you to resist this And I think that it's better that we take this on in a true budget session. Although this moves and would not be affected by that, I think that it's a policy decision that we need to make at that time and not have this hanging out there to possibly even go against what the governor may end up doing or we as a body may end up doing in the real budget session.
Representative Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd kind of like to echo the same kind of caution that the representative from District 7 just shared with you. We heard this in committee, and while it's always nice to give money to local governments, I think it's incumbent on us to give money the right way to local governments, and we've got to make sure that we have adequately considered our own needs. And what this does, the testimony we got from one representative from local government to the next in the committee meeting was that, the fluctuations in this sales tax the last couple of years has been really hard on us. And we need to get healed up real quick. And their suggestion for getting healed up was to actually increase their dependence on the sales tax by what this bill does, raising their appropriation from 31% to 36, so 5 percentage points of our sales tax. That incidentally turns out to be an appropriation of some $30 million. The point is, the more dependent they get on sales tax, and they will be more dependent if we approve this, the fluctuations are still going to be there. We found out ourselves state sales tax fluctuates. In 2008, in particular 2009, and recovering in some in 2010, we had fluctuations. And the other matter I would like to talk about is what we're doing. If we do this, this is going to be fixed in stone from now until kingdom come. Well, I shouldn't say fixed in stone, because I can assure you in another 4 or 5 years, they're going to want to jump that up to from 36, or some member of this body would jump this up from 36 to 40, what would it be, 41% would be the next 5 percentage point increment. The other thing to consider is that, despite how we think we've behaved to local governments, if you look at how we've behaved the last 4 or 5 years to local governments, it's been outstanding. There's been no local governments in anywhere in the United States that have done as remarkably well financially and fiscally and revenue sharing from the states they live in than these right here. Especially, I'd like to recall with some of you here, 11 months ago we were in a budget session, and if this bill had come 11 months ago when we were still worried and saving and trying to look for every dime we could, worried about what was going to happen the next biennium, you all remember the stories and all remember the cautions that the Appropriations Committee told us about. This bill wouldn't even been considered 11 months ago, folks. We can afford it now. We could say, we can spare 5% of our sales tax in the state. And if that was the matter that we're talking about, that it's just a one-year deal and we go back to 31, that would be an entirely different situation. The other thing to point out, and this will be my last issue, is that the revenue neutrality, of the offset of the funds, the only time that's appropriate is this first year. And from now on until year after year after year, it's not revenue neutral. What we're doing is assigning an entitlement of 30-some million dollars to local governments forever. And that's just the kind of things I hope that you'll take into consideration when you actually vote on this in later readings. Thank you.
Representative McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, Mr. Chairman, two or three different things. Number one, last session, this bill was passed out of revenue. And in deference to leadership, I went along with the bill not being brought up because we weren't sure of our revenue funding. And one of the reasons that this bill was brought out of the committee this year, and one of the reasons this bill was brought out of committee last year, was where do people live? They live in our cities and our counties. And where best to send to make those decisions where we're going to spend this money? Who's going to make those decisions? Those councilmen and those mayors and those county commissioners. When we're flowing this money through to them, uninhibited, we're not saying this money's got to be for public works. This money's got to be for a match. This money's got to be for a business park. This money's got to be for something else. This is discretionary funding that these citizens that live in these communities can have for an advantage that it's not directed by us in appropriations, us on the floor of the House, or the man downstairs, upstairs, I guess downstairs, maybe even upstairs. But this is what this is all about. This is why I bring this bill. You know, we sit here and we talk about rail against the state or federal government. And I hear my cities and my counties rail about us. We have treated them very well. We've given them hundreds of millions of dollars. And with that, we've said, you spend, here's hundreds of millions of dollars to spend on business parks, water and sewer, these types of projects. We've got a project coming from the big Campbell, the county with the big hump on it, so to speak, for water. It's a great project. It's needed. The place is growing like crazy. But this gives that same government some discretionary money that they can use to offset the cost of health insurance, to offset what they have to pay in salaries to compete with the industry in their areas. That's what's driven our state salaries up lately. When we did the market studies, we're competing against ourselves. Our own industries are taking some of our very best people, and they're doing the same thing to our cities and our counties. This gives them some discretionary funding to use. That's what this is all about. And it will continue. If you pass this bill, it will continue. And appropriations, and the man downstairs can look at this and say, okay, they're getting this much, and we're only going to give them the same last year that they got this year. But they'll have 5% more money that they can use for their own discretionary funding that they need to do things with. And that's why I brought the bill, and that's why I ask for your support.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and for House Bill 34, everything that's been spoken by the two previous speakers is all true. We've been very good to the cities, towns, and counties. However, it's kind of dependent on our actions down here each year. And so with this bill, we're actually giving them a little bit longer-term stream of money that they can do a little bit of planning with. And frankly, any time we can get some of the state money that we get down to lower levels of government, down to our counties, down to our cities, I think that's a good thing. We don't have that discretion with this increased percentages that are going into this bill. So on and for the bill, it's good for our communities, and that's why we're down here.
Is there any other discussion? Oh, Representative Petroff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just would like to point out that we would be, if we're voting in favor of this bill, and I encourage you to vote in favor of the bill, that we're voting to fund the government closest to the people. Thank you.
Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I rise in opposition to this bill, and for a couple of different reasons, several of which have already been mentioned. But the main one being that Our predecessors have struggled in the past on this floor trying to decide how to fulfill all of the needs of the state. And if we pass this, we are tying our hands. We are earmarking funds that are no longer at the discretion of this body, and it is our responsibility to take care of the entire needs of the state. Another reason why I am opposed to this is, yes, government that is closest to the people is the best, but also we need to remember the taxpayers. And it is a fact that the huge increase in our state budget has been driven primarily by those local governments. I don't have the exact figures, but I know that in the past we have discussed the idea that in times were good, we tried to focus our extra dollars on those things that were one-time infrastructure spending, but in many cases and in most areas of the state, the local governments grew government. They hired more people. They bought more equipment that included more costs. And in some counties, those salaries, payrolls have risen dramatically. So in some ways, I know my constituents asked me to come here and be responsible and disciplined about what we're doing. And I think that's still our job. And I think that history shows that we have provided very generously for the local governments. And I suspect that we will continue to do so. Thank you.
Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I rise in support of this measure, and I do so having been a city councilman when we didn't have the funds that were available, and the state found then the necessity of doing exactly what it's doing today, and that's using the SLIB board as that opportunity for cities and counties to try and compete for funds that we so graciously give them. Take a look at what that really means. It means that the cities and the counties don't really have the opportunity to plan. And if our success in our state is going to be shared, it's going to be done at the hands and the feet and the work of county government and city government. This is not a great bill for resolving the planning and funding mechanism for either of our political subdivisions. But at least it's a step, and it's something that can have a continuum. If there's going to be a stone, if there's going to be a rock that's going to survive and make this state strong, healthy, and have a variety of the various kinds of economic development that we seem to want to have, and I think appropriately so, then we need to be a little more sensitive to those political subdivisions, and this bill makes that addressement. Urge your support.
Representative Bonner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the body, I signed on to this bill, and I signed on for one reason, and that's as a former representative, a former elected official at the local government level, I wanted to identify some additional source of consistent revenue for local governments. I know local governments to be responsible and cost conscious, and I think that needs to be said in their behalf. So I would urge you to support this bill. If it doesn't pass, I have faith, and I've got to hope that we all can have faith that the issue will be addressed as it has been outlined by the Appropriations Committee with a request to the governor's office. But I would urge support. Thank you.
Representative Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen, I commend the bringers of this bill, but I would discourage you from voting for it. I believe that we have, over the last decade, supported our local governments generously. I did not give you handouts yet today because you will get a plethora of handouts in the next couple of days, a new data book, the budget, and several items that address funding of local government and other areas that we, the legislature, support in our communities. You will be seeing more pieces of legislation coming forward that supports the infrastructure of our cities, towns, and counties. It's a joint effort of all the different activities that we do as a legislature to provide for our communities. And I wholeheartedly believe that we do support our local communities because they are closest to the people. Look at that fiscal note. It's $33 million minimum per year. Biannualize that. We're coming into a new biennium budget after the supplemental. Keep in mind, this is a supplemental. We have directed the governor to look at other avenues of how we could possibly continue in some more stable way for local government funding. Realize that they have other funding coming from federal mineral royalties, severance tax, and their sales and use tax. And I think this is true, that this is one of those fair ways of doing it. But again, as some of the other speakers have said, when will be the next time that they'll ask for another increase in their distribution? So please keep that in mind. I believe it's $640 million that we have over above the caps of their other revenue streams that we have shared with local government as we have shared in excess revenue. We also have saved so that we have our legislative reserve stabilization account that we can deal with other issues as they come about. We've put money into highways and other infrastructure, business-ready communities, for example. Some of you are new to this body and haven't experienced over the years the other areas that we've put funding in for infrastructure into our communities. I'm working on, as we move closer here to having a budget for you, to show you a picture of all the items that address our local communities and the funding that we have projected over this last year and we're projecting for the rest of the biennium. So, ladies and gentlemen, please vote this down.
Chairman Childers.
Mr. Chairman, on and against. Earmarking that we tried to take a lot of it away, and we haven't totally eliminated it. These numbers were always arbitrary, whether it's this one or the ones that we had in the past that were even more detailed. Because one of the gentlemen, a former candidate for governor that did lose, he was chairman of the Revenue Committee. And I discussed those earmarking things with him, and he actually testified before the Revenue Committee when I was serving on it over 10 years ago. And again, he said the percentages were arbitrary. Now, admittedly, I hate government intrusion. But this is a small state, and I think what the good chairman of appropriations, especially the one in the House, what they do to distribute money to local governments as well as to other special districts and the agencies is established that I think we can fairly contribute monies to the cities, towns, and I do not think this bill is necessary, on and against.
Representative Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I happened to be in the legislature when we had the $180 million shortfall, and we were looking at every $50,000 expenditure as though it was our last go-round. And so I have that background. I've also been on a town council and enjoyed the amount of money that comes from the state, and if you could increase that going forward, that would feel good to the cities, towns, and counties. But I'd like you to just think about what we've done in the last 10 years. We've taken some of this fiscal control back to the state so we don't automatically fund things when we have run-ups and run-downs. And because we did that, we've been able to put resources aside for things that have a longer-term benefit than just increased benefits and wages for and employees and the equipment in the cities, towns, and counties. Think about your communities and what they've gone through in the last 10 years, and I think you'll see that most of them have better streets, better employees, better equipment across the board. We've been fair to them. I don't think we need to make a change in what we do here, and another earmark is not the way to go in my mind, so I'd urge your defeat of this bill.
Representative Madden. Well, we're in open debate, so have at it.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to say one thing about some comments have been made from the last couple of speakers on this is a stream of money that's dependable and is consistent. You know, if you don't leave with anything else, you've got to understand this is not dependable, it's not consistent, and it's an earmark that doesn't carry dependability and consistency. If I remember right, in 2009, our dip in state sales tax was like 35% or 40%. And this is what we're faced with right now, this 35% or 40% that did occur. Since it occurred to us, it also occurred in the local communities, is what precipitated them to come in and ask for this new percentage, this new increment. But it's still going to be inconsistent in amount from year to year and not dependable in amount from year to year. You know, the kind of this is an earmark, you're right, but this is a kind of an earmark that's not a dependable earmark. If this earmark had been written that the first $70 million that comes in every 2 years automatically goes to the city and counties, then that would be a consistent and dependable flow of money. But we're just introducing, if we go ahead with this, we're just introducing more gyrations and more fluctuations into the revenue stream that begets more requests for even higher percentages that will still fluctuate in years ahead. So, you know, pay attention to your appropriations committee. They're the ones that's been down the hall all the last 3 weeks working on this kind of stuff, and they know what they're talking about. Thank you.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Hope I can say what I really want to say. All the comments that have been said, I agree with. I think we have funded. But here's one thing and I guess you've kind of heard me say this before, but if we don't give the money to the cities and counties, that means we have it as a legislature in our abilities to fund. And I think we've done kind of a poor job in running state government. If you want to look at the cities and counties and see how they've built things, well, let's look at us and see how we've escalated our spending. So as we're kind of railing on them, my comment would be, if we don't give the monies to the cities and counties, and we have it here, we have a responsibility to spend it right and not grow all the government agencies. That handout I gave you, the percent of employees that we had in 01-02, and the amount of budget that each agency had, you look at it now in 11-12, and I'm telling you, we're railing on the cities and counties, but let's look at us. So I think I'm against the bill, and I'm for us if we'll use the money wisely. That make any sense? Thank you.
Representative McComey.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, once upon a time, long, long ago, I was a mayor. And I, this big building over here to our, that we go have our caucuses in, and We go to special meeting rooms in. The gentleman at that building that that's named after was the governor. And we came down here and we asked the governor if we could have some more of the sales tax because we needed it, cities and counties. And he said, I'll tell you what, if you'll help me get the severance tax, we'll give you some of the severance tax instead of the sales tax. We worked on that and we worked on that and we got an increase in the severance tax and the governor kept his word. And then in 2000, this body, as elected officials can do, changed the rules and they capped the severance tax flow to cities and counties so that they don't share in anything over a certain amount. So then they have to come to the legislature, and the legislature says, we're going to give you this much this year and this much that year. So I'm back to here asking now, I had hair on top of my head then. I'm back asking for that same consideration because we didn't keep our word as a legislature to the cities and counties. And we kept their revenue flows. And they needed this money for discretionary funding. And I'm here to tell you, folks, I think we owe this to cities and counties. No, we don't owe that. That's a bad statement. We don't owe anybody anything. We do a good job. Our revenue rises and falls, just like cities and counties. They're right with us. And if the severance tax sales go down, we're short here, they're short there. We have to adjust our budgets. They have to adjust their budgets. And they can't fix their streets. They can't do some of the things that they want to do. They can't provide some of the programs that they wanted to do. But, ladies and gentlemen, I truly believe they need this discretionary funding. And they need it now. And 2 years from now, this bill would kick in and they'd get it. On and for the bill.
Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Childers' motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it do so with a recommendation that Bill number 34 do pass, say yea. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
House Bill 34 fails. The division having been called, all those in favor of House Bill 34, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. Having failed a standing division vote, a roll call vote is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
No.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
No.
Brechtel.
No.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart. Brown.
No.
Brown, no. Burkhart.
No.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell. Kennedy.
No.
Childers.
No.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Edmonds excused. Eklund.
No.
Esquivel.
No.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
No.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
No.
Harshman.
No.
Harvey. Harvey.
No.
Hunt. Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
No.
Kasparic.
No.
Coker.
No.
Crone.
Aye.
Lockhart.
No.
Laux.
Aye.
Lubno.
No.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
No.
McComey.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
No.
Nicholas.
No.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
No.
Pedersen.
No.
Peterson.
No.
Petroff.
Aye.
Korberg.
No.
Roscoe.
No.
Semlich.
No.
Shepperson.
No.
Steward.
No.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
No.
Throne.
Aye.
Vronish.
No.
Wallace.
No.
Zwanitzer Dan.
No.
Zwanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 22 ayes, 37 no, 1 excused.
Pursuant to House Rule 10-5B, House Bill 34, having failed a roll call vote, it is indefinitely postponed. Just one moment. For all those members of the body that are concerned, I can assure you before sending to the chair today that I properly fastened all my garments. Mr. Floor Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Committee of the Whole begs leave to rise and sit again at 2 p.m.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Before we adjourn, then, committee announcements. Chairman Elloway.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet at noon in House 18. We'll discuss House Bill 242, Insurance Surplus Lines, House Bill 255, Veterans Tax Exemption, House Bill 234, Alcohol Permits, Catering Permits, House Bill 224, Platted Plots Requirement.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, will meet tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. to hear the following bills. Senate File 74, Wyoming Market Research Center. Senate File 75, Workforce Housing Infrastructure Funds Reversion. Senate File 76, Voluntary Environmental Audit Report. Senate File 92, Natural Gas Storage. And if time allows, House Bill 260, Industrial Siting Financial Resources.
Chairman Semlich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee, the committee number 5, Agriculture, Public Lands, and Water Resources, will meet in 15 minutes upon noon recess to hear House Bill 7, Wyoming Veterinary Medical Practice Act, House Bill 230, Eminent Domain Wind Energy Collector Systems, House Bill 223, Property Disclosure Statement, Wind Estate, and House Bill 202, Railroad Fence Repairs. Just a reminder to the committee to meet in the pre-announced location to perform the pre-announced task. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Chairman, your committee travel, number 6 travel, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. in room H10, where we will take up House Bill 236, Complementary Hunting License Persons with Disabilities, to reconsider the vote. House Bill 243, Human Remains Training of Search and Rescue Dogs, and Senate File 27 engrossed paramutual commission amendments.
Chairperson Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Committee number 8, Transportation and Military Affairs, will meet today, 10 minutes after adjournment this afternoon, room H17. We will hear Bills 90, Vehicle Restoration, House Bill 194, Next of Kin Driver's License Option, House Bill 195, Motor Vehicle Registration Fees, and House Bill 235, Natural Gas Vehicles.
Chairman Brown.
Mr. Chairman, Judiciary Committee number 1 will meet tomorrow morning, Wednesday, February the 2nd at 6:59 a.m. to consider the following bills. House Bill 203, Child Support Orders. House Bill 213, Medical Liability, Non-Economic Damages. House Bill 216, Misdemeanors, Maximum Fine. House Bill 249, Acceptance of Citation. And continue on House Bill 198, Admissibility of Evidence in Sex Offense Cases.
Chairperson Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee, Labor, Health, and Social Services, number 10, will meet tomorrow, 15 minutes upon adjournment, in room H17, where it's warm, and we'll hear the following bills. 232, Workers' Compensation Impairment Ratings. 252, Review of State Executive Department Positions. 253, Wyoming Nurse Practice Act Amendments. And 239, Child Caring Facility Certification.
Chairman Childers.
Mr. Chairman, your committee number 3, Revenue, will meet Wednesday morning, February the 2nd, at 7 a.m. in room 302 to consider the following bills. House Bill 175, Property Tax Assessed Value, continuing from the work on the 31st. House Bill 185, Fuel Tax Lust Funding. House Bill 191, Wind Power Taxation. House Bill 200, Property Tax Exemption Improvement and Service Districts. House Joint Resolution, Distribution of Excess Fines.
The Committee of the Whole will be in recess until 2 p.m.